teacher. Ah, when do you want to take those in the other room?
For her. Praise the Lord.
Have you got me on?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Blessed.
You know, people wonder, well, gee, what do you mean blessed? Well, we're all breathing. It's a blessing, I think. You know, God is so good. You know, and something that I continually want to let everybody know is there's nobody in this room that's any better than anybody else. Jesus is no respecter of persons. He loves us all just the same. Absolutely the same. And the enemy has worked on us and tried to tell us that we're not worthy. Maybe we don't know enough to talk about Jesus. If you've accepted Jesus, that's enough. But you can begin to tell what he's doing in your life. That's what we call a testimony. And we defeat Satan by the blood of Jesus and by the word of our testimony. So something's going on in your life when Jesus comes. It changes lives. It's like he's talking about Bobby Carner. First time he was talked to him, he was in jail. I got the privilege to be with him down in Georgia, in his hometown. And they talked about running over the top split one night. And, I mean, it was a real wild thing. He's getting dead. And he was in jail more than he was out. He knew where his dad was. It was almost like the Mayberry where he used to, the old guy come and open the cell door and let himself in. He was there that much. And today he's completely a different person. He just loves the Lord. Him and his new wife were in Mexico. They seen signs and wonders of people, limbs grown, blinded eyes open. They seen it all. And that's quite a bit from a boy in Georgia. That he said he was on drugs so long and so much, they kind of had a language of their own. And he had to learn to speak English after he got saved. So it was just kind of garbled it, you know. And he said he had to learn to talk. His brain was right. To see the Lord restore, give him his mind back. In fact, he gave him the mind of the Lord. How much better can that get? I want to have a testimony or two here in a minute, but the word is real important to us, and I want to look at Psalm 1 to start with today. It's right after the book of Job. I don't know where Psalms is. My two favorite books is Job and Revelation. Right after Job, book of Psalm. We have a guest here from North Carolina. She's been all week teaching in the evenings, Christine, and I'm very blessed to have had her here. Kevin's father is here all the way from some place in California. Where? Can't pronounce it. Escondida. Hesperia. Okay. Someplace down there. Okay. Hallelujah. And then his driver drives a mobile home. I'm going to have him come up here a little bit and tell what's happened to him since he's been here. Like the Frenchman said, whole bunch of mouths. Praise the Lord. If I get my glasses. In Psalm 1, let's look at it. 1. Psalm 1. Numero uno. I read a psalm every morning. It feeds your soul. It's good for what ails you. And that's how I start my day. Maybe I'll read 2 or 3. And if you do that, if you get accustomed to getting the word in you, there's something that helps you through the day. I don't care who comes against you. You can plan on the devil coming against you, because that's just what he does. But Jesus is greater than the devil. He who is in us is greater than he is in the world. And if you haven't figured it out yet, we're in a dogfight. This is war time. We're in a war. God is training us and giving us the best weapons of warfare. We had a little gal in Corvallis that got prayed for, and then she got a headache. And so the gal that was with her prayed, and the headache went away. And she says, now that tries to come back, you need to speak to that. And so she said, she was in her car getting ready to pick up her husband, and here it came again. So she was shouting and hollering, and her little boy didn't know what was going on. He's sitting in the back laughing. Said, "Get out of here, you spirit of headache. You go in Jesus' name. You can't stay in my car." And she's very new in the Lord, but you know what? It left. It left. You speak to that mountain. When something comes, you know, in case some pain comes into your body, you need to go after it. It's a powerful thing. Let's read this Psalm 1. "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsels of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." Okay, if you look at that, the counsel of the ungodly. Your newspaper is a good counsel of the ungodly. They come up with stuff that's not even real. And a long time ago, a newspaper man said, "We're not here to tell you the truth. We're here to form opinions. Careful what you read. Make sure to check it out. Don't just read something there and say, well, that's it. This is what we need to read. We can trust this one every time. Amen? And the scornful, you know, it's awful easy for us to look down on somebody. You know, we get a little bit of the Holy Ghost or something, and then we say, oh, well, them guys over there, something wrong with them. Don't judge people. It says if you judge, then you're going to start getting judged. Don't judge them. Pray for them. Lift them up. Say, Lord, help them. That's our duty. That's our... The Lord has shown me the other day, it says if we're in the right hand of God, He has us in His right hand. Okay? Do you realize that the hand that made the universe put everything in place became a flesh arm and came down to earth and washed our feet? Same arm of God. Only this time it was in Jesus. It was in the flesh. But the same power. He came to wash our feet. Isn't that awesome? Same one that made the universe came as a servant. What does that tell us? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. The Lord is looking for humble people. He's looking for servants. If you ever go in a restaurant and they never bring you the coffee warm-up, for those of you who drink coffee, kind of bugs you, doesn't it? Hey, over here, you know, me, hold your cup up. I've even got up and went and found the coffee and poured my own. But see, we're talking about waiters. You know, it says wait on the Lord. That also means be a servant. It doesn't mean to just sit on your rear end and wait for a gold brick to fall through the roof with an inscription on telling you what to do. It ain't going to happen. He wants us to be servants. Wait on one another. Amen. That's what He's talking about. And then, He'll give us a tip. When you need something, He's there. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law does He meditate day and night. And the Lord wanted me to look up the word meditate. Meditate means to murmur in pleasure or anger, ponder, imagine, mourn, mutter, roar, speak, study, talk, utter. What it's saying is you have this ability to begin to talk to yourself what people think, but you're really talking to the Lord. I remember in the early days, Sandra said, "Who's there? Who's out there?" Nobody, just me and the Lord. I'm carrying on this conversation, whether I'm mad at somebody or, you know, and it just goes on and on. Now, in the natural world, they put a net over you, put you in the funny farm. But see, this is what this is about, meditate. In other words, you have a problem, get the word in you and begin to talk about it. Talk to the Lord about it. Lord, why are they so hard-hearted? I remember some of you have heard this over and over again, but one time I knew in the church, and I was a logger, and I cut trees and split wood. And I'm down in the woods, and I'm really angry at these people in the church because, you know, I'm trying to get them to get the Holy Ghost, and they don't want it. And they're putting stuff on me and telling me that I got one oar in the water, I'm going to hell, and on and on. So I'm down there, and I really got that maul going, boy. I'm laying it on them. I'm muttering. I'm murmuring. I'm meditating. And all of a sudden, I look around, and there's a deer hunter standing there right by the corner of the pickup. And it's, "Oh, I'm sorry." And he says, "Oh, that's all right." I don't know how long he was there, but he got a good sermon. Because I was laying my anger on that wood, and I was really going at it. Well, the Lord has taught me how to control my anger. Because the anger that I had, it's okay to be angry, but you can have a spirit of anger. and it will overcome you. I used to just see red. I was gone. And the neck veins used to stand out, and I was a screamer. You wouldn't think that, would you? But I was. But God, see, but God, that's the thing, but God. I begin to allow Him to work on this clay pot. It says He's the potter and I'm the clay. But you got to be pliable or He can't reform you. So we all got to start someplace. And as we walk with Him, He begins to deal with us. And anything you want to give Him, He'll let you give it up. He just wants you. See, He already knows everything about you. You can't hide nothing. Whatever you're doing, He knows. But He wants to help you get over it. If you have a problem, He is the only solution. They got a lot of programs and 12 steps and those, and that's good. But we got a one-step program, Jesus. And that'll take care of the 12. It really will. If you're in a 12 step, I'm not putting it down. Go ahead with it. But get that one step on the 12 step, Jesus. And He'll help you through all the rest of it. You know, He's the one that, when I went to AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, I remember going there and it was good. Quit drinking for a time. But there was something missing. I didn't know what it was. And I knew my higher power wasn't a fire hydrant. A guy one day told me his higher power was a fire hydrant. And I said, what do you do when they shut the water off? And he never thought of that. But see, if Jesus is your higher power, the water never shuts off. Nobody can shut it off. And He ain't going to shut it off. He's showering us with blessings. Said He gives us abundantly more than we can ask or think. Just think of it. He showers us with blessings. Another place it says we cannot outrun His blessings. I can't get out here and run down the street fast enough to get away from His blessings.
Yes, sir.
It's awesome. What an awesome God. He's a God of love. He's got warnings. We're going to get to that in a second, I think. But His delight, too, is in the law of the Lord, and in His law does He meditate day and night. 3. And He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth His fruit in season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever He does shall prosper. Think of that. Whatever you put your mind to, if the Lord is your boss, not your partner. I had a young man that was in had a huge business, and for years he treated the Lord as his partner. He said, Lord, You're my partner. And finally the Lord had to take and let him in on it. He says, no, I'm the boss. You work for Me. Hello? The Lord ain't your partner, He's your boss. So, and He's not harsh or anything, so you make Him your boss, and then you'll get a lot farther than if He's just your partner. It's a matter of where you put Him. You put Him high and lifted up, and He'll cover you. Okay. 4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. In other words, what the Lord does for us will last forever. We are everlasting beings. We're going to be up or down. And for us here, we're going to be up. See, He's prepared a place for us. My Father's house has many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. Now think of that. What kind of a mansion do you think God's got? It's big. I guarantee you that. And it's nice. And there won't be any of this trouble that you have here. No sickness, no jealousy, no hatreds, nothing. It's all got to stay on the side of the flesh. And you cross over. You cross over into glory. Hallelujah. Just think of it. Just think of it. Hallelujah. This meditation is also in other Psalms. I'm not going to go to them now. I want to move into the New Testament in Matthew, chapter 14. And we're going to look at Jesus, and we're going to look at Him, what was the results of Him meditating, Him coming into the presence of His Father. There's something about coming in the presence of the Lord. It says that we boldly can come into the throne where Jesus is by the blood of Jesus and by the word of our testimony. Boldly, we can come in. Boldly. Not like a bunch of worms trying to crawl through a crack. Boldly, we can come in. Why? Because what He has done for us. It says that we're kings and priests unto our God. It says it in, Peter says it in 2 Peter and also in Revelation 1, I think 6. Kings and priests. Royal family. Isn't that neat? Okay. In chapter 14 in Matthew, is that where I took you? Okay. We're gonna start at verse 13, and what's happened here is John the Baptist has been beheaded. They whacked his head off. And the reason they whacked his head off is because he was telling the king that he was in sin, and what the king had done was stole his brother's wife. And the king didn't want to hear about it. And the woman in question was so angry that she made her daughter go and get the king to say whatever she wanted he would do. So when they said John the Baptist's head, he was a king and he'd give his word. He didn't want to really do it, but he did. So they whacked John's head off. Remember John said, I must decrease and Jesus will increase. And John, he died as a martyr. Hallelujah. 13, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. In other words, he went out by himself, and he took his people with him to get out away. Many times Jesus went out into a desert place, a quiet place where he could come in contact with his Father to meditate and to feel the presence. Because even though he was God, he was still flesh. And he needed this connection with the Father all the time. He said, I do what I see the Father do, and I say what the Father tells me to say. And so while he's out there, the people found out where he was at, and they followed him. Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. That's a direct root off of your communication, spending time muttering and murmuring, spending time in the presence of the Lord. And he'll begin to show you things to do. And all of a sudden, you'll run across a situation and you'll just know. Now. And you know that even the impossible is going to happen right now. Why? Because it's inside of you. And all of a sudden, he's telling you. He's showing you. And he's saying, say this. Bingo. There was a gal in Corvallis. We prayed for her. She was going to go see her brother and sister-in-law. We prayed for the walls to fall down and soften. Because the sister-in-law was really anti-Christ, and the brother was quite a bit. So they got up there, and she said, gee, I'd like to, while we're here, I'd like to kind of just have communion. You got anything against communion? And they said, no. She says, well, now, something we always do when we take communion is we say the sinner's prayer. Is that okay? And the sister-in-law, the tough one, says, yeah, that'll be okay. So they had communion, and they took the sinner's prayer. So you get into something like that, and it does something to you. And it was kind of tricky, but sometimes we got to be a little tricky. You know, we got to do what we can to get them. Because all we want them to do is find Jesus. You know, it ain't like we're trying to get them to join up with us. We just want them to have that connection. Get out of the bondages and begin to walk with power. Amen. Get saved. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Leaping and jumping and praising God. Isn't that neat? And so, then it was allowed that she could pray for the brother because he was sick. And I'm believing for recovery there too. See, the Lord can open doors if we're hearing Him and finding out how to do it. Now, you're all going to go to a Thanksgiving dinner someplace. You're all going to see relatives. And a bunch of them are going to think you got one oar in the water. Your elevator hasn't gone all the way up. Okay? So, you need to question the Lord. Ask Him, how do I deal with them? What do I say? And He can give you the perfect formula. The perfect. Every time. Hallelujah. I got an article here. It says, Hitler ranks high in the polls. They're trying to pick out the man of this century. Okay, and Elvis is in there. But this is what I got this out for. Hitler was not the only source of controversy in the outline tally coming in over the internet. Jesus ranked high at one point until the editors declared that only people who lived in this century are eligible. They don't know he's alive. Don't you know he rose from the tomb? They don't know that. He's alive. Hallelujah. He lives in you. That's where his life is. We're his body. That's where he wants to live. Isn't that neat? God living in us. Poor old Hitler. You know, he's shoveling coal, I'm sure. Huh? I think so. Way ahead, okay. Way ahead. Yeah, hallelujah. See. That's what you get out of newspapers. That's what you get out of the Bible. Hallelujah. Yeah. This isn't in the Bible, but John the Revelator, not John the Baptist, that they put on the Isle of Patmos, and then he was taken into heaven and wrote the book of Revelation. They tried to boil him in oil. And they threw him in there and they boiled him a while and he didn't cook. That made him mad, so they put him out on this prison island. This is not in the scripture, but it's in records. So John didn't boil. And so they put him. And something that said, John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And your religious mind will jump to, well, it happened on Sunday. And the Lord says, no. Every day to John was the Lord's day. You understand what I'm saying? We happen to be here today serving the Lord, but every day to us is the Lord's day. I need help tomorrow. I don't know about you, but I need help. I can't just get my help this morning and then waste away for a whole week. I used to do that. I go to church. I'm getting drunk. We drink new wine, okay? I used to go to church, and they just beat up on me good, and then I figured that was good for the week. And then I could go drinking and do whatever, lying and cheating. You know, I was good for another week. Amen, brother? I used to take a wafer and do the thing, you know, and then you're okay. But when the Lord came, he said, no, it doesn't work that way. I want you all week. I want you every day. And, you know, since I joined up, it's been good. You know, I was reading obituaries this morning. Just looking at them, because sometimes there'll be somebody I know. There's been several. And says they like to fish, and they like to hunt, and they like to, you know. I'm sorry, but I don't get it with me. My obituary, if any of you got anything to do with it, if I go before you do, before the Lord comes, the number one thing is I like to pray for people. And number two, or number one or two, is Jesus was my friend. And number three is, that's where I'm going. I'm going to that castle in the sky, that mansion. I've got a mansion. Does anybody know how to sing the words to that? Huh? I've got a mansion just over there. Here. Just over there. Yeah, that's where I get off, too. Well, anyhow, it's there. Okay. Hallelujah. Huh? Yeah, Mike? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, it goes on that the people got hungry and he did a great miracle here of loaves and fishes. And how that worked with the loaves and fishes, he comes over, this one I think they had 5 loaves and 3 little fishes. And they got 12 disciples, and they're going to feed 5,000 people. Now, it ain't going to work, is it? Now, he didn't order up, and there was this big truckload of stuff all of a sudden. What he did was Peter was one of the ones that had a hard time figuring out what was going on. So he gives Peter a basket, and he gives James a basket, and he puts a little piece of fish in there and a little piece of bread and says, there you go, son, go feed all these people. And Peter's saying, wow, this ain't going to work. So he goes over and he says, well, I'll let him have this and then I'll come back and get another piece. He gives it to him and he says, oh, there's still some in there. He gives it to her. Oh, Lord, something's going on here. And that's how that multiplication happened. It happened in the disciples' basket. He didn't just get a big pile of fish there and a big pile of bread and then he started packing it off. It was a miracle. He took that little bit to build their faith. Say, with a little bit, you can have a whole lot. Think of it. If you got that little mustard seed of Jesus, ooh, it can grow into a big tree. Just think about it. The devil says you ain't got enough. Yes, you do. You say, what's your gift? Jesus. What about tongues and interpretation? What about healing? What about miracles? Jesus. What about words of knowledge and words of wisdom? Jesus. Hallelujah. Just think of it. It's too simple. Got a spot for you right up here, bro. Chair right here. Okay, I got to keep this moving. Now, let's move down to verse 25. This is what's happened to you when you're walking with the Lord, meditation. And then the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. He's walking on water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit. And they cried out in fear. They thought it was a ghost. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou will and bid me, I'll come out of this boat onto the water. And Jesus says, come. When Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. What do you mean beginning to sink? You step into a pool, what's going to happen? Instantly, you'll go under. Amen? But old Peter, he's just starting to sink. He didn't just go under. And he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, O thou of little faith, whereof didst thou doubt? And when they come into the ship, the wind ceased. And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, he came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of the place had knowledge of him, they sent unto all the country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. My mother-in-law just had a stroke. The ambulance came and got her. She could not speak. Her words were garbled. And she wanted to say Jesus. And she couldn't say it. And she was, you know, everything she had. And suddenly, the Lord was in the ambulance. And she reached out and got a hold of his garment. She could physically feel his garment in her hand and said, Jesus. This just happened. And now she can talk. She's doing fine. Ain't that something? Got the hole of the hem of his garment, said Jesus. And the guys in the ambulance says, well, she was praying. We could hear something going on back there, you know. And then when Sandra and her sister was getting ready to leave when we put her in the hospital, she still hadn't got her language back, but she could pray in the spirit. They started praying in tongues and she started praying right along with them. What does that tell you? It doesn't come from your intellect. It comes from down here. That's where this language comes from. Let me tell you something. Man didn't invent English or Watusi. It's God-given, isn't it? People say, well, I don't know if I want you to speak in tongues. Well, folks, I am right now. I'm speaking in tongues. Man didn't invent English or any of it. It's a God gift. And if you want, and if you don't, no. God isn't going to beat you up. But me, I kind of dig it. You know, I prayed over and over again for the gifts of the Spirit in Corinthians, the nine gifts. And I said, Lord, I want, night after night, I mean, I prayed. I want this. And I thought God was going to send lightning and just fry me, you know, and I was just going to float away to cinder because I was so unworthy, so down. But he didn't kill me. So next night, I'm back at it again. And so finally, these things began to manifest. One of them was divers' tongues. I didn't know what that meant. Didn't have a foggiest idea. But in the spirit, I can speak in several languages. See, God honored my heart and not my head. I didn't know what I was asking. So watch out what you ask for. You can probably get it. Brother, would you come up and give us a little testimony? You're sitting on it. Don't hatch it. He's got it.
Hello, testing. Call. My mind went blank. I hate it when your mind goes blank. This is my dad's driver. My dad is blind, temporarily. I believe it's going to come back. I know it's going to come back. This is my dad's driver in the meantime, which is good because he came up here just filled with the Holy Ghost. He'll tell you the rest of the story.